When is the last time you listened to a podcast about web development, web design, and small business and didn't fall asleep? Yes, we cover web development, web design, and small business, but like actual human beings with personalities. If you're a beginner, we're not going to talk over your head. It's more like asking your buddy for help. We have guests, we have fun, and let me tell you, these two can get off on a tangent. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to HTML All the Things Podcast. This is Matt Lawrence and Mike Curran.
That's right, everybody. We are back, and this is the HTML All Things Podcast. This episode is titled, WordPress is a no-code tool that requires coding. So what does this mean? Well, I have been working on a WordPress project recently, and I found some weird limitations, and this episode was going to be specifically about those weird limitations. In fact, the episode was originally named Weird WordPress Limitations, and there are certainly a collection of those, and they are absolutely solvable with custom code and plugins and this type of thing. But this episode has evolved into the idea that maybe WordPress is in an identity crisis in a weird way. So I'm going to talk about those limitations, and then that feeds sort of a debate that we're going to have on whether or not WordPress is in or is not in an identity crisis actively. So if this sounds interesting to you and you want to support the show, you can go check us out on that Patreon, leave a review or rating on your podcast app, join us in our Discord server, or share this with your friends. And the first limitation that I hit, and this is the same for many other platforms out there, WordPress, Webflow, Wix, I'm sure, whatever, it's hitting limits you never expected. So here's an example of what I mean. And this is a personal example. So I have two custom post types on this website that I'm working on for a client. One is called facilities, and those facilities are quite literally facilities, physical buildings. And another custom post type is called activities. And activities are obviously, you know, things you do. And these activities happen inside of particular facilities. So it'll be like building one gets this activity, building two gets this activity, building one and two get this other activity. So in order to sort of marry these together, I haven't built the front end yet. I'm just sort of messing around in WordPress. I created a relationship field on the facilities post type. Now, I did this with ACF, which is a plugin called Advanced Custom Fields, and it allows you to add, like it says, custom fields to individual posts. So I'm able to go in there and say, hey, make this relationship field. Hey, make a quick title for me. Make an image. Make a this. Make a that, right? So that's what ACF is. So I made a relationship field. And what this relationship field allows me to do is it shows me a list. The way I have it filtered, it shows me a list of the activities dynamically. And so when I go into a facility, I like add a new facility, building one, add all my information, my description, all this stuff. Then the custom field is on the bottom in my particular case. And it says, you know, here's a list of the activities. And I'm able to click on which activities, one or more, that happen within this facility. So I think, you know, nothing of it. I put in all my information. Everything's good. I'm using Elementor Pro, which is a page builder plugin. And I'm not using an Elementor compatible theme. I'm making my own with the Elementor theme builder. So I go in and I say, okay, I'm going to make a loop item. Now, a loop item is just quite literally like a bunch of content boxes. So I make one for the activities. So it's just a box right now. It's not really styled. It's just a box with a border. It says the name of the activity. It says what time it's at. And it shows the little description. Okay. Then I go to my facilities page and I try to build out this page and I build it all out. It shows the facility name, the address, all that stuff. Everything's going fine. I then go, okay, show me a loop and I want to show the activities loop, right? And then I go, I would like to filter because right now it's showing all the activities. I would like to filter the activities by the relationship field. And I find out that I just can't do that. And this is something that I would be able to do in like a Webflow without even thinking about it. And I'm thinking to myself, well, this is kind of weird. Like, why is that? So I go digging and I find a few videos and a few posts that are of people trying to do the exact same thing that I'm trying to do. One of them was a car dealership website where basically they would list the models of cars, say like a Ford Focus. And then they would have, instead of activities, they would say, this car is available at this dealership. And they handled that relationship with a relationship field. Now, what they used was a paid plugin, of course, classic. But I'm trying to keep the budget down on this particular project. And this led me down this sort of rabbit hole of thinking like, man, WordPress is pretty bizarre sometimes. And that is that this is a limitation I never would have thought could have happened and never would have thought, you know, this is even a possibility. It's something that I just thought I'd be able to do, and that's it. Now, there are some workarounds. I can create custom pages and try to like do some filter stuff, blah, blah, blah. There's also custom code solutions, of course, that I could do, of course. And there's also other ways for me to do this, like having a taxonomy, but then the taxonomy doesn't automatically get populated by the facilities or by the activities. So then it's like, okay, well, but can I use custom code or a plugin to do that? And we start building, in my mind anyway, this sort of like bloated WordPress website. And all I want to do is have these relationships work. There's even another plugin out there that allows you to, that adds an Elementor widget, they're called, which is basically an element. And it's actually a relationship field element specifically that plugs into ACF. And then I would be able to do this sort of filtering. And there is a plugin that allows for advanced, I think it's post queries or maybe just queries. I can't remember now. But that plugin basically allows me to say, you know, here's my loop, pull in the activities, and then my custom query, or in this case, my plugins query, is that I want to relate to the post IDs that are returned from the relationship field. Now, unfortunately, this plugin was shown off and works exactly like you would think it would, and it works exactly as I would expect. And it was in a video from about 6 months ago, I believe. But unfortunately, that plugin hasn't been updated in approaching a year. And so I really don't want to put this into a customer's website at the moment anyway, just due to its age. So then I'm thinking, okay, now I got to go to custom code. So this is a weird limitation. And I'm going to leave it at that for the moment, just because it's going to add to this debate in the end.
Can I just interject here? It seems like, okay, so just full transparency, I haven't worked WordPress in a long time. My interaction with WordPress has been troubleshooting. Like, I've never built a site from ground up in WordPress. I've been asked to, hey, can you take a look at this issue that I'm having, this error that I'm seeing? Can you help me fix it? So I've only ever been in the situation where I've had to go into the code or had to like debug it. I've never had like a smooth WordPress experience. As someone that's built several WordPress sites at this point, Matt, have you had a smooth WordPress experience where you went in and built a website? Or is it like 40% smooth, 60% having to work around the limitations? Like what's the percentage?
Okay, so coming from a jack of all trades position, I guess you could say, because I don't always work with WordPress. It could be, you know, 6 months, 8 months, a year before I have to go in and start building in WordPress again. But I do have experience with WordPress. I would say it's usually like 40% smooth, 60% problem, or even 60-40 sometimes the other way around, like 60% smooth, 40. It really depends on the website. I think, though, that a lot of these limitations and you know, plugin selections would absolutely be a lot smoother if you worked in WordPress all the time, because you would automatically know what the limitations were. There's some of that in terms of Webflow that I know, where immediately when a customer is describing a feature, I immediately know that's going to be a disaster, or that it's not possible with Webflow without some sort of plugin, without some sort of custom code. That absolutely happens. So I do want to say that, you know, I don't think WordPress is a bad tool by any means. You know, I'm still going to be using it. I'm still going to be playing with it, yada, yada. I still think it's a viable tool. I just think that there's these weird limitations. And this first section that I'm talking about is absolutely more specific to my problem, right? Where I'm noticing a problem in my particular project. But I have two more that are absolutely going to be, you know, more widespread, that are sort of like, at least to me, it's kind of like a head scratcher. Like, why isn't this possible, you know, without custom code or whatever?
Yeah, I guess the mindset is like, if you're a WordPress developer, someone that's strictly, you know, developing sites in WordPress, what probably happens is as you learn these limitations, you start to design around them. So instead of designing a website that has any relations that you could possibly think of, and you know, you're just pulling stuff to make it as convenient as possible for the client and for yourself and for the UX of the website, you're specifically designing with those limitations in mind. And in that case, you're probably right, where it becomes this like smooth-ish experience of just putting together building blocks and adding plugins that are only necessary, etc. But you're always having to keep those limitations at the back of your head to design the solution properly. Like that's how I see it. Like you can't design without limitations. There's not a chance of that. Right. But if you have those limitations in mind, it could be smooth.
Yeah, it's the same. It's like the same thing with, like, again, I have a lot of experience with WordPress just because of, or with Webflow, because a few of the projects that we've worked on recently have been based in Webflow because, you know, clients have requested it for the CMS or for one reason or another. And so I have absolutely, you know, I do have a lot of those ideas in mind. I even have a couple of custom code snippets that I've written that will allow me to do a few things in WordPress with just a bit of basic vanilla JavaScript, which will allow for a little bit of that smoothing out. And I do see this smoothing out a lot in YouTube influencers, where I'll watch, you know, the odd WordPress video. And a lot of the time, like the agency videos, so the people that are talking about, hey, spin up your own agency and use WordPress to do so, they have these videos where they'll talk specifically about the plugins they use. And there'll be, you know, say three or four kind of fringe ones that they use occasionally, but it'll be like five or six or maybe even like three, whatever, that they always install. And so, like, clearly these always install ones are smoothing things over, whether it's for content, security, whatever the things are. It's the things that they always install because they know it's a bit of a pain. Like, one thing that's really weird is that conditional visibility, unless I've missed it somewhere, is not available just in vanilla Elementor. I can't just toggle a switch and say, you know, hide the call to action on this post. You can't just do that. Now, I have a workaround where I can just use a little bit of custom CSS, and by like looking at an attribute's value, I'm able to hide it. But that is, you know, a little bit of custom code. Is it simple? Yes, but it is not all no code. And I know some people right now are probably like, oh, like Matt doesn't know PHP. You're right. And no, you know, Matt doesn't want to write custom code. That's not necessarily the case. The big problem with having to constantly add custom code is that when you write custom code for a client project, oftentimes that custom code requires some sort of maintenance. So the endpoints that you're pulling from on WordPress may change. And yes, I know WordPress has a really great track record with, you know, having legacy systems continue to work, but sometimes things will need to be maintained. And if you are not in the picture, you're not on staff for like the foreseeable future. So let's say you build the site, you give it to them, they say thank you, and that's the end of your relationship, and it's just riddled with custom code. They go to update the plugins a year later or a WordPress a year later, and all of a sudden, all that custom code starts crumbling down. Now you have a problem. Whereas if you use plugins that are updated consistently and you're using mostly those features, those developers oftentimes know of each other, right? Like ACF knows of CPT UI. They know of Elementor, right? So they know, oh, shoot, whenever I have Elementor Pro installed, WordPress is crashing. I better, you know, go into my code and try to fix that. There's like a development team kind of behind you through the plugin. It's the plugin's developer team. And so clients that update things like that, it like helps them a lot. And I know you're saying like, well, you know, WordPress should be updated every month, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but the reality is many clients just are not going to do it. Many clients are going to do it once a year or never until the day they decide to do it. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, this is a disaster. So this is kind of where this episode kind of came from, right? Where I'm starting to see how like WordPress is like no code 90% of the way. And then there's these like, I need to add a little bit of custom code or a plugin. Oh, I need to add a little custom code or a plugin. And this is where things start to fall apart. Plugins are great. Obviously, I'm using a few here that I've already talked about, ACF and Elementor. But there are some weirdness. Like, I'll give you an example here. So ACF, Advanced Custom Fields again, has the ability to have an image field. Now, if you upgrade to ACF Pro, you can have a gallery field in which you can, you know, kind of reorder images and have more of a gallery feel. But it said, hey, you can upload multiple images in the image field if you want. And then I go into Elementor and I see, oh, if I put in from the, on the front end, a gallery widget, like the visual gallery, I can dynamically pull the data from an image field. So I go and I say, okay, so I make my field, I call it images, right? And I tell it, you know, allow multiple images, blah, 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 right? And return an array of images. That's what I wanted to return. But visually in the editor, like I go in, I upload all my images into like the sort of media selector in WordPress. It only shows one of the images in the editor. So like once I say upload and I say, yeah, insert into the post. Yeah, that array is working. And the front end of that photo gallery is working. It's working, no doubt. But I can't see what images are related to that post unless I go to the media, click into each individual one, and then in the small text, it says, oh, this is related to this post. This is related to this post. This is related to this post. And it's sort of like, I understand that, yeah, like ACF Pro solves this, and I am going to be upgrading to ACF Pro to get this feature because they do need a gallery. But it's sort of like, why does this even half work? You know, like, sure, as a technician, maybe if it was just me and I understand what's going on, I'd be like, oh, I'm okay with some inconvenience. I just don't want to pay for ACF Pro. I'll just use ACF. Maybe that's why. But this is one of these weird things where it's like WordPress has this built-in feature that allows you to like, or seemingly it's a WordPress built-in feature where it allows you to relate these images to this post. And then you can pull that data into Elementor, into a photo gallery, but then it's not visually shown anywhere. So it's like, okay, so like now, like, why is this again? It's like a no code tool that requires a bit of code. It's like this weird pseudo thing that, I mean, it works, but it's clunky and users are going to ask questions about that.
Yeah. I think it all comes back to that point of like the only way to really get velocity and success with this is to just not do the things that require these workarounds. You know what I mean? So yeah. Like limit the features of your site, essentially. So not having to support multiple images in that way, right? Like not having to do this kind of stuff. Just don't have those. Just like that's the only way to have like a happy path with something like WordPress. And this, I want to be clear that this doesn't apply only to WordPress. This applies to any CAN solution because the CAN solutions always have a happy path, I'm saying in quotes, for the majority of people. So, right, like it's going to be like, this is how we intend for you to use the product. And as soon as you design something outside of that intent, you either have to, again, go through this rigmarole of having multiple plugins plugging into each other. Like, I think the worry that I always have with what Matt is describing is like, he's describing a plugin ecosystem that's not plugging into the core based functionality of WordPress. That's one thing. Like, that's fine for the most part. You still have to be careful. You still have to make sure that it's an updated plugin. The biggest worry I have is that these plugins are now plugging into each other. So he has like this ACF plugin that's plugging into this other Elementor plugin. That's like, that is a huge red flag immediately to me, right? And I mean, a lot of WordPress works that way, to be fair. Like, people find these like limitations of these massive plugins and design plugins to work around the limitations of the massive plugins, and that's a profitable ecosystem that you have. But as soon as you have a maintainer that doesn't maintain at the same rate as the plugin that they're plugging into, plus maintaining the updates of WordPress itself, holy shit, is that a house of cards or a leaning tower of Pisa or whatever the heck you want to call it. Like, that's a worry to me on many different levels. So the only way I could see this working again is you're designing the experience, you're designing the UI with every single limitation that you can have in mind and removing features that don't work in the safe, happy path, period.
It's a good observation. And the problem is that issues like that are kind of like potholes in the road, right? I think you and I were discussing before this episode how, you know, WordPress gives you this runway where you can hit the ground running, where you're like, okay, I'm going to hit the ground running with my site. I can make different posts. Like, I have a blogging platform now. I can handle comments if I want to. I can have taxonomies and like have categories and tags and like blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, oh, but you know, I can, let's go and make this thing more of a full custom site. And whether you're using Elementor or even FSE/Gutenberg, it's one of these things where, unfortunately, there's these big potholes in the road. And I'm not saying that any editor is perfect. Like, Webflow has its fair share of problems where it does not have what I would call like the publisher power that WordPress has. But WordPress has a lot of, you know, page editing power, even just vanilla with FSE, absolutely. But it does not have the same power as Webflow in that respect. And so you have this, you know, yeah, I'm going to hit the ground running on this runway that has some pretty big potholes in it, which is really unfortunate. Like here's an example of one. Many people just want to have a website. And so they think, I'm just going to go to WordPress. They don't want to do blogs. They don't want to do that thing. They just want to have a website. Totally possible. The two custom post types, or the two post types, I suppose, that ship with WordPress out of the box are pages and posts. And yes, they are both called post types. So you have pages and posts. Pages are static pages, like your homepage, you know, an about us page, those type of things. And then posts would be something like, quite literally, like a blog post, where you write posts and it's you write up things, right? Like it's more for the people that are contributing content, let's say, to your website. Well, comments are, you know, controversial because people yell and scream in them. But it's also sometimes people just do not want comments on their website. Many websites have them. Many websites do not. So you would think, oh, okay, great. I'm going to be able to go and disable comments completely in WordPress because it's a blogging platform first. That's how it started. And it still, you know, largely is that. So why don't I go and disable that? There's a bunch of ways to disable comments on posts. Right in WordPress, there's like, you know, there's ways to uncheck boxes and remove comments from future posts. And there's even ways to disable comments from older posts as well. If the posts already exist, there's ways to do that in a no code, I'm in WordPress way. I found from, and this comes to us from HubSpot, in the HubSpot article on how to do all this like disabling, it says here, quote, did you know that even after disabling comments on your posts and pages, your media files will continue to be open for comments? And you can disable that by altering some source code. So now you're back into, oh, I got to do a bit of custom code. It's like, you're a publishing platform. Like, isn't this a huge pothole? Why isn't there a definitively stop all comments everywhere? I don't want comments on my images. I don't want comments on anything. I want every comment disabled. I don't want people to be commenting on my website. Like, why is this still a huge, why is this a hole that even exists in WordPress? Now, maybe this has been removed by an update by the time that you listen to this. I think this HubSpot article, let me actually just double check, but I believe this HubSpot article was from 2023. August 14th, 2023, it says published as of me reading it. So, I mean, it is recent. Like it's not years and years and years old. Why do these random limitations exist? Here's another one. I've talked about this in the past. There's no built-in disaster recovery. The WordPress white screen of death, which is a screen that just basically says your site has crashed and it can't run right now, you know, and it says your site has encountered a critical error or something along those lines, is not just, oh, shoot, like I'm going to have to log into WordPress to fix it. No, you can't log into WordPress anymore because WordPress is no longer functioning. This commonly happens. It's very easy to bring it upon yourself. And now it commonly happens due to updates to things like plugins and or WordPress or a combination of both, right? But here's the crazy thing. You can set plugins to automatically update with just a click. So the plugin store of WordPress is just that. It's like an app store of plugins. You can set them to automatically update. But now the auto updates may destroy your website, because we've had things in the past where we're using two or three large plugins, meaning from large development companies, they're up to date, but one of them has a problem. And so they go, oh, shoot, you know, we got to roll back. And then, or like, here's a workaround for the time being, some custom code or whatever. And then we'll push out another update to fix this. And it's like, that's going to happen with big and small companies. And so your website just one day may just stop functioning. Just, you know, you're just going to bring on the WordPress white screen of death upon yourself. Like this is a problem. And even if you're like, well, you know what, I'll do planned updates. I'll do it on a staging server, which is what you really should be doing, on some sort of dev server. I'll do it in dev first and then I'll do it in production. I'll have backups, of course. Yeah, of course you should be doing that. But I mean, this is auto update. Like, why is this so easily just turn? Like, why can't I just click set this to auto update? Like, this is a huge source of problems. And WordPress can also be set to auto update as well. So it's like, what? I think the WordPress one, I can't remember now if the WordPress updates can be set in the editor, like in the WordPress admin area, or whether you have to go into the WordPress config. I can't remember that. But the plugins, certainly there's an enable auto updates button in there.
Do you know of any services that offer rollbacks? Like I'm imagining that, like, because WordPress is so prone to the white screen of death, that like a WordPress specific host must have a way to have easy, like, one click rollbacks. Or is that not a common feature that you've seen.
Well, so hosts will commonly have features like, for example, they'll use a really popular software called Jet Backup. And Jet Backup is included with a fair bit of hosts out there where it'll have some sort of intermittent sort of like, hey, I want to, or like, hey, I'll back this up. And then like sometimes there's just like a rollback button. But that's more on the host side. Like that's not, it doesn't know that it's WordPress necessarily. It's like the host is, you know, oh, I need a rollback to this database, to this whatever. And like, you know, it'll reinstall everything and blah, blah, blah. Hopefully perfectly, which is, I mean, is going to be difficult in and of itself. I do believe as well, like there are some, what I call it is the Active Directory, if you will, from the IT world, the Active Directory of WordPress, which there are apps. One of them stands out is Manage WordPress or Manage WP, where you can see all your WordPress websites. So if you run an agency, you can see all your WordPress things, and you can actually tell it from Manage WP, hey, I want to do plugin updates like every day at like Monday at 1 p.m. or whatever, and it'll do it for you. I believe there's a rollback feature in that where you can like go back to like a back. Like I think you might be able to just to go back to a backup or something like that. There are absolutely backup, you know, pieces of software. You know, they're like for sure there absolutely is. But this is not built into WordPress. Like this is my number one problem is that if the WordPress widescreen of death was only if you were meddling in code all the time. And you were like deep in there and there were warnings every 2 seconds. Fine. This is like, oh, my slider has an update. Click update. Oh, website's done.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I could see that being a problem.
What if it wasn't your plugin? Or what if it wasn't your slider plugin? What if it was a plugin like your page builder? And so now you contact the developer. You have to go through the whole process of getting them to come in and blah, blah, blah. There's like an onboarding process if you don't already have one. So now your site's going to be down for days or weeks. And then they might go like, well, the problem is your page builder and we don't have a backup. So, I mean, how many hours did you spend building pages in your page builder? Probably a lot. And you rely on that. So now it's like, well, now we're going to have to rebuild. And like, it's a mess. Like, it is a mess. And so it's like, why isn't there a simple rollback? You can accidentally have plugin conflicts. So like plugin conflicts can happen via updates, but they can also happen live. Like if you're like, oh, shoot, like, you know, I have a slider on my front page, but I wanted this sort of like nice and like a more slim slider or something, right, design wise on another page. So I'm gonna install this plugin. That plugin could conflict with the other plugin and widescreen of death again. And it's like like this is a live problem now. This isn't an update problem or a maintenance problem. And the plugin's page, like the plugin's availability is like an app store. So many people, because WordPress is so common and there's so many tutorials and I do this, many people are not going to understand the implications of going in. They're going to look in and they're going to be like, oh, wow, I can just install plugins whenever I need to. You're right. But it's going to be like, it's a little scary. Like, even working on this other project, I'm working on it on a dev server because the client's going to learn how to edit content and stuff like that on a dev server that doesn't touch their existing website at all. And then we'll, you know, tear down the old website, put this new one on there once all the content and everything's up to date and the person's been trained. The thing is that even me, if I go to install a plugin right now, I back up the site because it could break everything. And that breaks all my work. And like, I don't have version control on this particular site because I'm currently just building in no code for the time being. But it's a serious problem. Also, custom coding errors is also another way to accidentally, you know, bring yourself a problem with the white screen of death. Now, yes, there are some plugins, like I think it's the... I'm using the Hello Elementor theme and I accidentally like clicked edit the one of the files. It like warned me. It's like, hey, like, you know, you're going in to edit some code here. This is a serious place. Like, fair enough. Like, that's a totally good thing to warn people. I can't remember if that type of warning showed up when I went to go edit the functions.php. But the functions.php file basically allows you to add custom functions. So, for example, what I'm looking at doing right now is adding a custom query that will work with Elementor to allow me to filter those activities with that relationship field from earlier, right? This is custom code though, but I'm doing it. I'm adding to the functions.php file from the WordPress admin area. If I make one mistake in there that is fatal enough, and it's really easy to do because guess what? I go online and try to find a code snippet that works and then copy and paste it to see if it works. If there's something wrong with it for whatever reason due to a WordPress, you know, conflict or whatever, white screen of death, and you think, well, that's fine. Just go into the functions.php and remove it. Not from the admin area, you're not, because the admin area doesn't work anymore. So, like, what are we talking about here? Like, WordPress is effectively defunct now. And yeah, for me, it's easy. Log in, maybe even FTP, grab the functions file, delete the little, you know, function I added, re-upload the functions file, overwrite it. Okay, WordPress is back. Yeah, it's easy enough for me to do it. What about a client? And the scary thing with WordPress is that many people that are not developers by any means are using WordPress, self-installed WordPress, like self-managed WordPress. And yes, you could say, well, they're making bad decisions. But they're making bad decisions without even knowing to Google if it's a good or a bad decision. They're just using a website editor. Oh, what's a website editor? They find out WordPress is one, and they just go down that rabbit hole. They don't even know about WordPress.com, which is the, you know, the service that WordPress adds. They only know of the self-hosted one. So now, like, you know, we're sending people like to walk off of a cliff here a bit.
I have a question on that. Would you recommend today a non-developer try to spin up a WordPress site on their own that is not a one-pager marketing site or a simple block that is anything but those?
Only if they're technically savvy.
Because what if they're not? Like, what do you mean by technically savvy? Define technically savvy.
Right. So I do not know how to code PHP from scratch. So therefore, I am hardly a WordPress developer, but I am a web developer. So I know how to make backups, access the server, go in and like create databases, change the permissions on databases. The list goes on forever. Configure the config files, HD accesses, whatever.
But you also know programming constructs, if loops, you know.
Right. So I can go into PHP to an extent and kind of like fumble my way around, right? So I'm not, I wouldn't call myself like a WordPress developer, let's say, just because I don't know PHP. But I have enough knowledge to back things up, know where things are, have my permalink structure, you know, yada, yada. So if they don't know that stuff, like if they were to fall on the white screen of death and they would not know what to do at all, no, I do not think that they should be doing it.
So for most people, no, then.
For most people, I would say it's no.
Yeah. So that's, I guess that's where like Wix and Squarespace have eaten everyone's lunch, like, because
there's managed, there's managed WordPress hosting though out there, which is self-hosted WordPress, giving you the freedom of self-hosted WordPress, which we haven't covered a lot in this episode. And that's like another topic for another day, but it's, you know, the freedom of self-hosted WordPress with like a guided hand of the host helping you, because they have WordPress experts. You can call them and they probably have a backup solution and migration solutions and a lot of like yada, 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 right? Or maybe they even lock it down to an extent where they're like, yeah, go change everything except for this. Like, you know, like don't touch this. Don't add plugins or whatever, right? So like there is like a helping hand in that way. And some of those hosts will actually have an expert where you can say, hey, I need a developer for 4 hours. They literally will charge per hour and you can get a developer for 4 hours and then that's it. You can get some help that way. So there is like disaster recovery outside of WordPress. But like, why isn't there just basic disaster recovery? Like, think about Windows. Windows messes up all the time. Windows, the other day, I closed my laptop. It was low on battery. I closed my laptop. I plug it in. It spins up and starts going nuts. I'm like, oh, it's probably doing an update. I leave it, like whatever. Leave it overnight. It charges up. I come back to go use it in the morning. I open it up and like the fingerprint, because like I have a fingerprint reader on my keyboard, the fingerprint icon that normally shows up is just at the top of the screen instead of the bottom. And it's just sitting there and nothing else. It's just a black screen. I'm like, okay, was this on all night? Like, I have no idea. I don't know what the status is. The computer will go into sleep if I click the button, but won't wake up. I have to like hard shut down, return it back on. Now, there's a good chance that an update messed up, but luckily it booted up fine. But if Windows does not, like Windows easily messes up is my point by saying all that. If Windows goes in, like you go to turn your computer on one day and it has a problem, like it can't, you know, it can't boot up for some reason. There's a whole bunch of stuff that you can do. Go into safe mode, try to roll back to a restore point, try startup repair. These are things that you do not need a technician to do, that it clearly lays out. This is what this does. We should try this. We should try that, right? Some things even happen automatically. I think startup repair might do automatically if you try to restart quickly three times or something like that. These are things that are built into Windows to try to prevent you from having to call a technician. And this does not exist in WordPress. It's like WordPress is a huge platform. These things, in my opinion, honestly should be in WordPress. Some possible solutions here are update rollbacks for plugins in WordPress. Can I just quickly, you know, do a quick check? Hey, is there any errors? Like why doesn't WordPress like have a thing where it's like, hey, I'm going to error out here. Whoop. Okay, back it out. All right, now we know that plugin's, you know, messed up. Just like somehow do a check to see if it's going to error out. Easier said than done, I want to, you know, to be clear. why isn't there like some sort of safe mode where you can access like a mini WordPress CMS that just allows you to disable plugins or edit the functions.php? Why isn't that exist? Like a front-end solution. Developers like myself, I have no problem going into the FTP and blah, 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 the file manager, going into the server and fixing stuff. But there's going to be people that accidentally, you know, put a semicolon in, or they copy and paste a piece of code foolishly that they haven't tested, and, you know, they're on production and they just paste it in there because they think it's going to work, and then it breaks. Why isn't there like a mini WordPress that allows you to go in? Because right now it's like, oh, if you want to disable, like, let's say I update a slider plugin and my WordPress site fails. Chances are it was the update, right? Because that's what I just did. So I can go in and rename the directory of the plugin to make it so that it gets deactivated. Why isn't there like a little safe mode of WordPress that allows me to go in and just deactivate plugins? Like, why isn't that something that's doable from a user perspective? Like, that's crazy to me. Like, this is a very mature platform, you know? And yes, I know we have FSE, which I'm going to talk about, which is Gutenberg, full site editing. They made full site editing before they made a little safe mode for WordPress. Like, to me, that's crazy. Just a little safe mode. And again, like, you know, to stop reiterating myself, like, I totally understand that recovery tools are easier said than done in terms of their creation. Totally understand that. I also understand that many recovery tools will take up a lot of storage space, which could be a problem on hosting. But even if these recovery tools are hidden behind some developer tools, so let's say like I go in for this client, I go in and like set all this stuff up for them, right? I set up the website, but then I also go in, this is a key thing here, I also go in and I fix a bunch of stuff. So I go in and I turn on the WordPress recovery features and I tell it, hey, make backups, but only make them compressed and only this big, like stuff that a developer would have to know, right? Someone dealing with the hosting. Hey, you know, cron jobs don't work on this. So like make it so that a button shows up for the user or whatever, or like, hey, don't take any backups, just allow WordPress safe mode. Like even if the recovery, the built-in disaster recovery is something that a developer has to set up initially, but then becomes more consumer friendly, I'm totally even fine with that because I understand the hosting limitations. But like the very fact that we can't recover from realistically a quote unquote simple disaster, like a plugin not working, and this happens all the time, and this is still a huge thing. Like that's, I don't know, to me, that's crazy. Imagine Windows just being like, I don't do startup repair anymore. It's like, oh, good. So like a power outage at the wrong time, or like one little file doesn't get written properly in a massive Windows update, and now my entire computer is just done. And I got to go to if I'm not tech savvy, I have to go to a technician, or because I am tech savvy, I have to pull out my technician tools. Like that's where we're at. That's crazy to me. Crazy. This should be built into WordPress, in my opinion. Okay, so Mike and I are about to have a debate here, and this is actually recorded on a different day if my voice sounds different, because we ran out of time to record originally. But all of these points that I've made in this episode so far, you know, hitting limits you never expected, I understand that's a very tailored thing to what I was doing and am doing, you know, disabling comments, that's a little niche, you could say, even no built-in disaster recovery. I think personally that's a must, and yes, I understand there's plugins for it. And a lot of the sort of debate about WordPress is, you know, it can be chunky, there's too many plugins, there's too much this, there's too much that, whatever. I think, though, at the end of all this, if we bring this whole episode together, is a big kind of fueling point in this debate is an identity crisis. And an identity crisis that I think is sort of hinted at anyway, and again, this is all my opinion, by full site editing, or commonly referred to as Gutenberg. So I believe it was, don't quote me, around 2018, WordPress starts to offer a way to build pages with blocks. You know, drag in a social media block and add your social media icons, for example. Add an image block, etc., right? And it starts to make WordPress feel like it's trying to be a modern website builder on top of what it's already known for, which is a publishing platform specifically for blog posts. But with some basic abilities that I've already described missing, like disaster recovery, comment turn off, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So we have almost like a bit of Squarespace and Wix and Webflow influence with FSE, right? Full site editing. We also have our publishing platform. And we think, you know, at least back then, I remember seeing tweets and kind of the general feel of WordPress, at least at that time, was, wow, WordPress might become like a very, you know, serious site builder. But then immediately we start leveraging plugins again. People are already downloading. If they're using FSE, that is, they're adding more block options by downloading plugins that add more block options and all this kind of thing. And this constantly comes back to this debate of like, is WordPress supposed to be fully featured, really? Or is WordPress a big site editor? And there's a Reddit thread that I'm just going to touch on. It's a pretty big thread. I'm not going to read the whole thing by any means. It's about 6 months ago as of recording this, and it says, why does WordPress lack so many features you would expect it to have? So I'm going to link to this thread in the show notes, just so you can see who wrote it and see the debate. But basically, this person just touching on this, not diving in really big, is saying, you know, hey, like, why the heck is so many features lacking? And why the heck do we have all these plugins that are like, oh, hey, you know, buy a subscription to this, buy a subscription to that, buy a subscription to this, because everything's a subscription. And from a consumer standpoint, I get that. You don't want to keep adding subscriptions to, you know, your ballooning, I guess, website budget at this point. But as a developer, I think, well, yeah, like, I made a plugin that changes how the images work in WordPress, and I deserve to be paid for that, because I also I'm going to keep that up to date by, you know, and I can decide not to as well, but I'm going to also choose to keep that up to date, assuming I'm an active WordPress enthusiast, let's say. I'm going to keep testing new versions of WordPress, and whenever any of the sort of tooling around what I've done changes, I'm going to have to upgrade to the new WordPress like way of doing it. Like, oh, images are handled like differently this time. I have to now go after them by URL or whatever, right? So I have to make those changes and then also support legacy. So I need to be continually paid for continual work. That's the developer in me talking about this. But my big thing, again, comes back to that identity crisis. You know, why is it that WordPress is missing all of these features, right? And you can say to me, well, you know, it has all these, you know, APIs and, you know, endpoints and blah, 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 blah. And you can code and connect to that tooling. You can connect to that tool set and you can make things. You're 100% correct. I could do that. But then it raises the question in my head of, well, if I came to WordPress for a simple site, of which allegedly it's good at, because many people online that are just YouTube influencers will say, hey, start your blog and start it on WordPress. Many will say, yeah, use WordPress, you know, it's easy to use, whatever. But the instant you try to kind of go outside the lines, or when you really start digging into features, things are missing that you would just expect to be there. So just a personal point about me, my preferred CMS UX for myself and my clients is fill in the blank. Fill in the blank as in, here's a description field, this is the character limit, or maybe there is no character limit and it's a rich text field, or, you know, select how many of this unit you have and it's just a drop down, or it's a number field where they can't accidentally enter a negative one or like a negative two or a zero. It has to be one or higher. This sort of fill in the blank CMS UX is something that I've become accustomed to way back in the days of Couch CMS. It's also something I've become accustomed to using Webflow for some of my clients. And what it is it allows your clients to get used to using the CMS. They edit things on the site, like an event is a prime example. If the event has a title, a date and a time, and a description field, they know internal office politic wise that they need those three fields filled. And so when they go to the meeting about the event and they're the person updating the site and adding the event to the site, they can ask for those specific three things. And they know that when they go in there, if they accidentally try to enter the rich text stuff into the title field, there's not going to be a mistake there. So that's what I try to do, is I try to make things super fast and also dynamic, so that that event shows up on the applicable pages. Like, oh, that event is inside of building one. Well, building one has a page. Let's have that event show up under the events section of the building one page, like all this dynamic data, right? So I like to really sort of lock things down. And yes, I acknowledge in FSE, again, full site editing, you can lock things down. You can say, hey, you know, you can't delete this, things like that. And there's more controls than that. I'm just not going to dive into everything that WordPress does at the moment. So all of this, you know, kind of culminates in, I think that there's this identity crisis where we have full site editing that's like, hey, build your site like you would on Squarespace, or build your site like you would on Wix. But remember, You're going to need a whole bunch of custom code to do some things when you want something in particular done, and that includes for basic things. So I want this debate now to sort of take place, and I have like a few points. I'll kind of run through each one. I'll do one at a time, and then Mike and I can kind of talk about it. So the overall kind of arching question, I suppose you could say, is why did they make FSE without baking in basic features if you believe in the same thing I do, which is that WordPress is in this sort of identity crisis mode, if you will. First point here, for sub point, quote unquote, edit your whole site. But if you make a mistake, and it's probably a big one because blocks are pretty locked down, you may have a critical error. There's no disaster recovery. So come get a technician to come in and do the disaster recovery for you. So like, what type of message from a marketing perspective here is that sending? Hey, come in and build your site with all these blocks. It's super easy and fast and everything. But if something really goes wrong, unfortunately, you're going to have a technician come in because there's no rollback function. What's that about? Could you imagine going to a Webflow or something like that? Like we use Webflow because some of my clients want things really locked down in terms of their CMS experience. And I've only had in several years, two pages crash on me because of changes I've made. And the technician, was making very serious changes, you know, going in and making very strange things like, hey, will this work? Oh, no, it didn't. Only two times. But with WordPress, and again, I haven't had the block manager crash in particular, but if the user has an admin account, of which some will request it, I know some of you are going to say, hey, you know, don't give your users the WordPress admin account. Yeah, but I am a contractor. They may demand admin access. Then they just go in and start updating things, or they hear online through YouTube or something, hey, just add this quick, you know, you want to make this quick change and you don't want to call up your technician, make this quick code change. So they just go in, install another plugin that adds custom code blocks. They go to edit it and boom, now their site's all messed up. So again, it feeds this identity crisis. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah. So I agree with you that there is an identity crisis. I want to make that clear. I think it's a little bit of in my head, it's a little bit of a different identity crisis. So WordPress, as it stood, let's say 5-10 years ago, was a blogging platform that you could self-host yourself, you know, on any host. You could install like one-click install. Like it was super easy for anyone to set up a very simple blog site from a template and then start blogging away, right? That was WordPress. What it became, I should say, that was the intention of WordPress initially. What it became is this massive ecosystem of custom coded plugins that enabled it to become almost anything. Anything from a multi-page massive site with different kinds of articles and categories and all that, to an e-commerce store. I've even seen some web apps, like very functional, highly functional web apps with dashboards and all that built inside of WordPress. It expanded way outside the scope of the intention creation of WordPress. And I think what WordPress did when they saw that was like, well, it seems that people don't want just a blogging site, or maybe even blogging just dying in general. They want to be able to build more, right? They want to be able to build on top of the blogging platform and build a full website. So maybe we should provide our own option for that, since that's definitely the direction that most people want to go. The hesitation and the direction there for me is that there was already many, many options that allowed you to do that were very highly maintained. Elementor being one of them, right? A million other builders that Matt and I have used before that did full page editing in different variations.
Visual Composer is a classic one that I remember. Yep.
Sure. Yeah. Like there's a ton of them. The idea that they would integrate their own and then be better than all of these other ones that are, first of all, usually for profit, and WordPress as an open source platform is not the profit center. The profit center, I think, for them is WordPress.org, or that might be a whole separate organization.
No, WordPress.com, and then WordPress.org Sorry. Is the self-hosted. Yeah, just to be clear.
Okay, yeah. No, that makes sense. I don't know how the monetization works between the two, right? Like, I don't know if it's a completely separate organization that runs both of them, or somehow WordPress is monetized in different ways. I don't know. But it to me, WordPress itself is a free open source platform that you can host anywhere the heck you want. It does not have a monetization strategy in that sense. To think that they would implement a fully featured no code page builder inside of it was, I think, too lofty of a goal, right? And to make it fully featured enough for like anyone that is more familiar with, let's say, Wix or Squarespace, because that's really what they're competing with at that point. And Webflow being the other one, Webflow being the higher priced, I guess, of all three. I feel like that was too much of a lift for them. So they decided to build a very basic editor that can be extended. Again, the ethos being that we're going to build this Gutenberg editor. People can make their own blocks. That's it. And again, the issue that they ran up against, and I think still running up against, is that there's already all these editors. Like, people are going to have to build blocks for Gutenberg, Elementor, the other one that Matt mentioned that I already forgot completely. There's just a million different things that you need to build custom code for to then power this ecosystem, that the built-in one will get lost and has been getting lost. Like, most people that I've talked to that still use WordPress are still using an older site builder like Elementor, rather than giving Gutenberg a shot, or even they might have given it a shot and it just hasn't worked out for the most part because of what Matt mentioned a few times. It's just too basic. Like, you just don't have all the features, and the custom features even are a little bit lacking because of the other options. So my initial thought on all this is that WordPress should actually minimize, like, should go back to being this core feature, the core feature where you can plug in anything you want, focus on the core functionality, which they've already done enough, honestly. Like, the core functionality of WordPress, the blogging side of it, is probably in a good state. There's a few little things, we mentioned comments, there's a few things that they can optimize there. For the most part, though, it's in a pretty good state. Allow these other organizations like Elementor and all that to build on top of it without confusing the ecosystem. Allow people to disable Gutenberg, because I think that's a whole issue as well, where you have like Gutenberg and Elementor beside each other. And then because this is a CMS editor platform that's designed for like developers and customers and all of that's together, like, you could confuse them. Like, it becomes this confusing mess when you have multiple different ways to edit a single page.
Well, I've literally seen sites where someone's accidentally had an Elementor and then like a WordPress bakery and then also like an FSE, like, and yep, it'll be like three different pages and three different editors have been plugged, yep, in to the different things. It's like a mess.
Absolutely. And I fully understand. I fully can see that happening, and I've seen it happen. And I mean, Matt and I have seen like the different levels of templates that Dreamweaver had. And this is kind of starting to become that a little bit, because the first project that Matt and I did for web development was a Dreamweaver project. And there was, kid you not, I'm pretty sure 36 templates affecting one page, all in different files, all over the place, not organized in one folder. It's all over the place. And this is kind of where the issue of like, where's this data coming from is kind of happening with WordPress, because of the fact that they're not focusing on the core as much as they probably should be. And I say that without having dove in to how WordPress is structured for a long time. So I could be completely wrong about that. But the sentiment that I'm getting from the community is that the Gutenberg side of things was overall not the right direction for WordPress to go in, because of the fact that there was already a million different ways to do that. And they should have probably stuck to being the core. Maybe move away from blogging. I agree. I kind of agree with that direction, because again, blogging has become a little bit less popular and not a thing that everyone wants to spin up. And like, there's Medium and Dev.2, like, there's a million different blogging platforms that are even easier to set up than WordPress now. So maybe they should have just even like stripped that into its own plugin and become the core for all these plugins, and then allow these other ones to flourish on their ecosystem, focus on that ecosystem, speed it up, upgrade the PHP, give better tooling, all that. And that's their identity now, not this like all-encompassing platform, but we're the core platform for you to build on top of. And then both the developers happy, because the developers can build their tools. And then the users that are actually creating the sites that aren't touching the code probably have a less hard time without the confusion of this multifaceted system of like different editing options that are baked in from the start. And like, do I pick another? I don't know. It just seems confusing.
The thing that you're talking about echoes, at least in my mind, of WordPress should become a developer tool. It's almost like WordPress is like a JavaScript framework, which kind we talk of about frequently. It's almost like they're just like a PHP site building framework is almost what you're kind of saying. And you can kind of see that a little bit where every single time you go to do something that's either a little unorthodox or you dig in at all, it's like, oh, I can't actually do this. An example is, I want to have custom post types. 100%. WordPress has a mechanism there that allows you to create custom post types, list it in the admin area, and there's a plethora of other features. But there's no UI to do that. And it becomes this thing where it's an identity crisis. Like, I'm not necessarily complaining that, you know, everything is custom code. What I'm complaining about is that I go in and I go, okay, I'm going to build this page today. I'm using Elementor Pro in this particular case, right? I'm going to go build this page today and I'm going to like quickly spin this up. You go to do it and you're like, oh shoot, there's a missing feature here. There's a missing feature there. And this happens on everything. This happens on Webflow, Wix, Squarespace. It happens on everything. Because if you were to have somebody say, you know, what feature do you want? What feature do you want? You're in a seminar full of 1,000 people. You might get, you know, 700 unique requests for different features. So WordPress and these other platforms cannot adhere to everybody for sure. But there's the obvious holes, like the comment thing where I think it's like the attachment pages when you have like when you upload an image to a post, it becomes attached to that post. And I think that some themes will have like an attachment page, and like we're starting to get into the weeds here, right? And I might be a little wrong on that, but starting to get into the weeds here, and then it's like, oh, but you can't disable comments on those, and like, but sometimes like your theme doesn't support that. But then there's also other things where it's like, hey, I have Elementor Pro, which I can build a theme on. So you use the Hello Elementor theme and then you build your own theme. But then it's like, oh, but by the way, you could just have an Elementor compatible theme. It's like, oh my God, like, okay. And then it's like, oh, but if you want to have WooCommerce, so you can download WooCommerce, but then you have to also make sure that the theme is compatible with WooCommerce. And then it's like, oh, okay. And then like these like sort of packages that have connected themselves to WordPress are so big. Like some people will say, I'm a WooCommerce developer. Because they know all of the hooks and again, like all the API, whatever, everything, all the tooling that WooCommerce, just WooCommerce, that allows you to plug into, like this is crazy. Like it, like to me, it's just, it's getting too many layers deep, and we're starting to get to that point where it's like, what is WordPress? Is it a developer tool? Is it a consumer tool? Is it a blogging platform? That's what it is, like formally, right? Like. If I were to like have to write it out in a legal document, if it's like, you know, your best guess or your best classification of what WordPress is, I would still say blogging platform, right? To me, that's true. But Mike's right. It's like technically a blog post is just a post type in WordPress with a title, a featured image, a few other things, right? Comments and whatever, and then a description field. Or an area, really, a rich text field where you can go in and just, you know, write what you want, add your headings, embed your YouTube videos, add links. The list goes on and on and on. I refer to that to my customers like a little like Microsoft Word that they can just go to town. You want to have a YouTube video this time? Go for it. You can put that in there. Like that's your freeform space, but it's safe because it's just like a document. So when you upload your YouTube video and it looks dumb for some reason, you can delete it, right? Or you can mess around with it. I'm not developing a bunch of tools around your rich text experience, right? So like WordPress has that part down, like for sure. But it's just, again, it's this identity crisis, and we've mentioned some of this in a previous episode, especially the disaster recovery, I remember. And it just, to me, it just makes no sense. And as a final note, one of the like craziest things, at least to me, again, is there's this thing where people will say to you, you know, just custom code. Like WordPress, you know, gives you the tools, man. It has all these endpoints. It has all these ways to manipulate it with custom code. Just do that. So I went in and I'm like, all right. So I tried to make a custom query in Elementor, and I made a mistake. I fully acknowledge it's my mistake, and I don't know where the mistake is. But the whole site crashed. It's like, oh, all right, go in here, do this. And Elementor's getting better at that. Like I have had several instances now where just the post crashes, where the post still loads, but the actual post content just says like, hey, there's been an error here. But there's been times, you know, just within the last year or two, where I've went into WordPress. Went to go change something that I thought was simple, made a mistake. Again, that's fully on me, made a syntax error, but I uploaded that via the front end into the functions PHP, made a mistake, and then boom, the whole site comes crashing down. And the functions PHP is accessible via the admin account. And yes, you can have a lockdown account. But again, if you're a contractor, the person that is in charge of the site, that owns the site, may demand admin access. They can go Googling. They can find code snippets just as quickly as you or I can. They can go into the functions PHP. They can paste stuff in there. They can make changes, press update, and then boom, now the whole site's down. And again, yeah, that is on them, but it's also on you because they're going to probably call you and say the site's down. And a bunch of the time, they're not going to know what they did wrong. Some of them aren't even going to tell you that they messed with the functions.php. So now you're going to be messing around with the troubleshooting and debugging and stuff like that. Again, something that WordPress does provide us is debugging. But it's like, hey, WordPress is a code happy environment. Go ahead and custom code. But if you make one mistake, everything's going to come crashing down, and you know, that's it. And it's like, okay, this is my problem with this is my identity crisis, is that basic things to me should not be hidden behind custom code. One example that everyone gets plagued with is the plugin updates. Updating plugins, especially if your site is complex and has lots of plugins, is an absolute disaster. Like, I'm going to update all my plugins. You click update on all these plugins, and then, oh, my site crashed. Like, which one is it? And so people will go, okay, what you do is you go in the file system and you rename the folder to deactivate each one. It's like, hang on. Why isn't there a way for me to visually do this? Like, why isn't there a way for me to quickly go in and deactivate it? There's just these holes in the fact that it seems like WordPress welcomes custom code, but then at the same time is like, yeah, but we don't have a disaster recovery, or we don't have an easy way. Like, you have to go in the FTP, which is easy for me, but it's not easy for the client. That's really, I think, like, where this identity crisis is. It's like, we're full site editing, but we're not full site recovery. And it just feels so split. It feels so strange.
I want to also, like, have a final comment here, I think. And just as you were talking, I was thinking of, like, what WordPress should be. And again, I'm not a WordPress expert, but just from this conversation, my thoughts are, bringing it back to the developer world, WordPress should be like React, where React is the core framework, very much the pieces of everything. Pretty much no one uses React on its own, right? Like, this is like, React on its own would be used for like very small little things. It's a very core functionality framework. What people are using these days is stuff like Remix or Next.js, right? These things that are built on top of React that pack in routing, and they pack in server-side rendering, and they pack in API functionality. Like, they pack in just a bunch of stuff around React as the core, and then give it to the consumer, the developer, at this point, but the consumer can be different in different situations. So I feel like React or WordPress should be like the React. So it should be the core functionality that you need. The core functionality should probably include plugins like ACF, right? Advanced Custom Fields, because I feel like that's a core function of WordPress at this point.
I install it almost every time.
That's what I mean. Like they should focus on that. Get the core function that everyone installs on every thing into WordPress. Buy ACF, just build your own ACF, whatever you want to do. And then have access for developers to then build on top of that and release different like variations of WordPress for different use cases, right? So if someone needs a WordPress that's very targeted towards a very simple marketing site that's customer facing, not developer facing, customer facing, then you can get that, have a already integrated editor in there, all the plugins you would need installed, all the plugins you would need locked down as much as possible, so that a normal customer can go in and start building with the whatever visual editor they choose, and not have a situation where they could destroy the website with a custom code, mm-hmm. right? So that should be one option. And then there's another option to be more developer focused with other functionalities. But then, like, there should be other packages around WordPress built by the community, supported by the community, or built by third party companies that see a potential profit in packaging WordPress in a different way, and have that be the direction that you go in, rather than trying to appease as many people as possible and convoluting WordPress with different editors and not factoring in features that everyone uses already. Again, like advanced custom fields. I'll leave it at that, because I'm not a WordPress expert, but I feel like there is something there. Like, I feel like it would be cool to see WordPress go in that direction and try to kind of, like, you know, maneuver around the situation that they've created.
I like the bundling idea. That's an interesting take, where it's just the platform has evolved in terms of how people use it. So they could really just have an installer almost, where it goes, this is the most common way of installing things. Like what mode do you want WordPress to run in? And it's, you know, it's completely sort of like an installer. And then you just press like, oh, I'm making this type of site. And then it just it spins up all that stuff. Oh, I just want WordPress old and I just want to edit. I just want to edit the way I was before. Okay, you know, and that's it. You know, there's already a plugin activation, deactivation, delete, install system. Having a little installer where, like, it's WordPress sanctioned, though, right? Where they have tested those plugins and those type of things. I like that. I like that a lot, actually. All right. Well, I think that's our debate on this. I know it's going to be controversial. There's going to be a bunch of people at the gates. And, like, that's good. Like, I want to have a conversation on WordPress because, to me, I'm like, I like it. Then I use it. I'm like, I dislike it. Then I use it next day and I like it again. So it's a, you know, love it, hate it relationship. And I want to have these discussions because maybe I'm using it wrong. Maybe you're using it wrong. I don't know. But this is just, it's something that I absolutely think should be discussed and debated because it's a huge part of the web. Love it or hate it, it is a huge part of the web. And it's something that some people make a living on. And therefore, it's important, you know, to a lot of people. So it's something that we should absolutely discuss, debate, and question. But that's it. That concludes this episode. Remember that we are on Patreon. If you want to support episodes like this, that's patreon.com/HTML the things. And many thanks to our $3 tier patrons, Tim from The Web Hacker on thewebhacker.com, Jason from Geek Life Radio via geeklifradio.com, Fire Ant Season via fireantseason.com, Garrett Segal, Level Up Financial Planning via www.levelupfinancialplanning.com and Joshua via silvio.us. Remember that we also have a Scrimba affiliate link if you want to go and check that out and learn how to code with their interactive media player code editor. Go and check those out. They do have some free courses. They have some subscriptions. They have a lot of great instructors over there. Go check it out. And last but not least, we'd like to give a shout out to Michael Laraca, a contributing author on htmlallthethings.com. Michael is the author of Self-Taught, the X Generation blog at selftauttxg.com. Feel free to leave a comment or a review on the platform that you are listening to this on, and this outro will sign us off.
You've been listening to HTML All the Things podcast. Web development, web design, and small business. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from this show. And we hope you appreciate that we talk to you like human beings. And we hope you had some fun. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hit us up on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Patreon at HTML All the Things. And on Twitter at HTML Everything. Until next time, this is HTML All the Things. Signing off.